what an effort that is. A wonderful goal, Matthijs.
Martin Albion have promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and this week I'm joined as ever by Nick Davey.
Good evening, everyone.
And Richard Hero Hudson.
Hooray!
Hello.
We're good, lads.
We're good, thanks. So, I interviewed Rodri Giggs, who is currently the Academy and Reserve Manager at FC United and was the former player manager of Salford City. You can listen to the interview now, and I'll be joined by Nick and Richard after the interview. I'm joined by Rodri Giggs for an interview tonight. Are you well, Rodri?
I'm okay, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks. So this first thing I want to ask is about how you got into football. I know that your dad played rugby and you were interested in playing rugby as well.
Yeah, it was a sport of family, so obviously we moved to Manchester because my dad was playing rugby for Swinton, but yeah, it was a sport of family. And rugby, yeah, was probably better at rugby than was at football. When I'm not growing at 16 and the other lads are growing to 16, 17 stone and running, stamping over me, I had a stint plan for that, so I went to football.
Alright. So you played a lot of youth football and then Torquay, I believe, was your first, like, club that you signed for, is that?
Yeah, I did a apprenticeship there at Torquay.
What made you go all the way down to Torquay? It's quite a way from Manchester.
I don't know how it came about. I just ended up going down there for a trial, being down there for a week with the rest of them on a holiday with the rest of the kids for the trials for the apprenticeships for next year. And they asked me to stay on for another week, which I did, and then I ended up training with the apprenticeship. The wife just lads we had there, and then they asked me to sign in the middle of the week, and I did. I really enjoyed it. It was a nice part of the world.
So
I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed the time there. So just when they asked me, I didn't hesitate really.
So roughly, how old were you when you signed there?
I just left school, so I would have been 16.
Did you at leaving school? Did you always think that going into sport was where you would end up, or did you ever think?
Yeah, you always think you want to play football, but. Yeah, obviously, you know, it doesn't work out for everyone, but I was lucky enough to get an apprenticeship, and then I was off. So yeah, it was a nice surprise, but I wasn't expecting, because I was a bit of a tear at school, so people stayed away from me, so Torquay got wind of me, and I went down there and I signed there.
Okay, you stayed there for a bit, and then you left. I think it was to do with the ownership, as far as I understand it.
Yeah, it was. They wanted to stay down there, and it just run its course, and I just wanted to come home, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. And after that, you went up to Scotland, played for, you had a trial at Hearts, and then ended up at Livingston.
Went to Hearts for a week, was up there with Neil Poyser, and an agent, that friend, family, was a football agent, was dealing with Neil Poyser at the time, so I stayed with him and his Thomas. Went to Hearts for a week, and then they didn't want me, so I went to Livingston, and I ended up staying there for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm. I just want to ask, as a young player, did comparisons, like, it must have happened, like, comparisons with your brother, did that affect you at all? It must have...
When I went to Torquay, originally went down on a trial, my name was Rod, the organiser, I don't know why it came about, but anyway, my name was Rod Jones, it wasn't Giggs.
Okay.
They didn't want me to get mired, or they didn't want me to concentrate on football, or people ask me questions. So, yeah. When I returned and then they named out Roger Giggs, they were like, what? I thought you named Rod Jones, and I was like, I explaining, and that was a bit weird.
Okay.
I was 16 years of age doing that, but yeah.
I could imagine it going one of two ways. I could imagine, like, you know, with all the comparisons and that, it maybe being a bit of a distraction, but then in the other way, maybe, you know, because of the name, it helps you get opportunities.
It's a bit of both. It's a hindrance and a help, so it's a bit of both, but it wasn't a problem, to be honest.
Okay. I want to move on later on. You ended up playing at Salford City and FC United of Manchester.
Yeah.
Are there any particular highlights of your career there?
Salford, well, I started Salford when I was about 19, 20, and obviously I left there and went to in Wales, went there for a few months, and then I got in a bit of trouble and ended up going to prison,
right.
And then come out and started playing for Salford again, and then where did I go? I went to Modley, I was there for about 4 years, and then I signed for FC United.
Right.
And then went back to Salford, and then went back to and that's where I am now.
You were player manager at Salford City for a bit, weren't you?
Yeah, it was a bit of a struggle at the time when I was there. They'd have money problems, they'd give you a certain budget, and then that budget would be taken away. So there's never no consistency. You never have no consistency with players because you have an agreement with them that you're paying them this, and then Salford, after a few bad results, they just pull the rug under you, and then your wages are down, and then players you're losing 5-10%, and then you're in a dogfight. But when I went there, we had 3 points in October, finished in mid table, and then the next season on, finished mid table again. And then I left and went to West United.
As a player manager, though, is it a difficult?
I was the player manager at Salford, and then I went to the player, then took over the player manager, and then went to West United just for the player.
Yeah, I just want to ask.
Fired at FC and then obviously took over the reserve and now I'm doing the academy at FC United.
Okay. I just want to ask about being a player manager, how it is to try and juggle both playing and managing. Is it a difficult? Are there to try
yeah,
and.
Yeah, it is difficult. The person I've worked with, I've known him a long time, so I've just seen. So it's difficult if you haven't got someone on the side who doesn't know you that well or trust you and doesn't know the way you play or the kind of the way you think. I would look at a friend of mine I've worked with, and we've worked together in football, and I've trusted him, so it is difficult, but it's not impossible, but it's not ideal, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine trying to make like a substitution or trying to change the game. It must be difficult to see how the game.
Yeah, it's difficult. And as you're on the pitch, you talk to players differently, and then obviously they think, oh, you talk to me as a manager, but I'm not, I'm talking to the player, and it's that balance. So, and that was quite an angry person on the pitch. So if someone's doing the job, well, I'd be telling them straight, and some of them may have took that the wrong way.
Just want to ask what you think of Salford City now, obviously, with the class of 92 taking over, and there's been the documentaries and all that. Do you think that they can rise and end up playing, like Football League or?
Yeah, I should imagine so. The amount of money they're spending and the players they're bringing in, it's just on the up at the minute, and that can only keep on going with the money they're spending and the publicity they're attracting. So, and good luck to them. I'm happy for people that have been there, who have struggled, who have been through the heartache of being a Salford fan, and now, they're reaping the rewards of that. So the people who have been there 20, 25 years, I'm happy for them. And then, obviously, the Johnny come lately, the 92, they're doing a good job. So, but I'm happy for the lads and the people who have been there for 20, 25 years, because it's been a slog. So, but it's all good. I'm happy they're doing it. Good luck to them.
Okay, we'll move on to FC United, where you are at the moment, you said?
Yeah.
So what is it your role, your academy?
Reserve team manager and academy coach, yeah.
Okay. Do you enjoy working with the young players, seeing them develop?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's frustrating, but you've got talent, it wants them, isn't it? It's frustrating because obviously the young lads, they're going to make mistakes, but yeah, it's enjoyable, and it's good to just try and pass your knowledge on and see these kids progress.
So you've been working with FC United for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I've probably been here now for something fourth this year.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask?
So I just moved to New Ground last year, so yeah, it's a good place at the minute.
Yeah, FC United. What was it that drawn you to that club in particular? Was it something that?
Well, it's a friend of mine who took over the manager's role. I played him at Salford when I was first there at Salford, Tom Hardison.
Oh yeah.
And I was at Mosley, and he asked me to come when they first started. But I did quite a good side at Mosley, and I didn't really want to leave. It was a good job I didn't, because we won the league that year, but we won the league, and I promised him I'd come the next year. And then, coming 2006, we won the league there. Then we had a little fallout, I left, and then obviously we made it back up, and then we sorted things out, and I went back.
Mm-hmm. I just want to ask that I've seen a few articles and stuff on the internet it criticising Salford City and FC United, saying that the other teams in the Manchester sort of region are struggling, with fan bases and stuff because of those two teams. Do you think that's something that's fair to say, or?
I don't, to be honest, I've been playing non-league a long time now, and Manchester United have put money into a lot of non-league, put a lot of money into non-league clubs' pockets over the years when teams were playing. They put prices up, and they're still big non-league clubs. They're still well supported. Curtin Aston wasn't as well supported as it is now when I was there 5-6 years ago. So that's improved. Aston United, they get a good crowd. Stratford have always been 100 people a game, so.
Okay.
So, no, I disagree, to be honest. When the clubs play, they play the Manchester Cup every year, so they play these clubs, and they'll get the money they were worth, and they'll get a whole class, so I don't agree with that, no.
So you also played in Wales. You mentioned Bangor City. I read you played at for Aberystwyth as well.
Yeah, I played for Bangor and Aberystwyth, yeah.
Okay. What do you think of the standard of the Welsh League? Must have been fun all the away days travelling around Wales on all those country roads.
Yeah, the away games when we had Hamilton West away. I remember staying on the Thursday night, like meeting at the whole time, but at 5 in the morning, I'm like, what? It's 5 in the morning, you got there, and I'm like, 12, 1 o'clock, it was a trek.
Someone, one of our followers asked what they think of the idea of Welsh teams joining the football pyramid, whether that's something that would possibly help. Because you've got like Cardiff and Swansea who play there, but whether they should join England in a... Be some horrible away days then.
Yeah, they'd be stinkers, yeah, absolute stinkers, yeah.
Alright, there's another thing as well, is about Scottish teams. The Plymouth manager Derek Adams, he was saying that League Two teams could compete in the SPL, the Scottish Premier League. Is that something? I don't know. What do you think of the standard of football in Scotland, and do you think it is comparable?
No, I think the SPL is a bit better than League Two, to be honest. They've got the championship, probably top league one, not the definitely championship, mm-hmm. With a team like Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, they're strong side, big clubs, so I think they're a bit better league two.
Okay. Just finally, I just want to ask what you're doing with yourself. You're obviously at FC United. Do you plan to stay there for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I'm there for the foreseeable future, so we'll just see what happens. Like I say, we never know what's happening.
All right, well, good luck for the future. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Good, mate.
So that was Rodri Giggs there. So I'll move on to you two. What are your thoughts on FC United and Salford City? Because that was
I've seen FC United play before, actually. Played them in the FA Cup. About 5-6 years ago, but I've never met a bigger bunch of passionate supporters. Fantastic support, probably one of the best in my time of going to the Withington Stadium. Obviously, Withington Stadium didn't have a roof, but you couldn't hear yourself think of how loud they actually were. That was obviously one of the biggest games in their club history, a chance to make it to the third round of the FA Cup. But I was incredibly impressed with the support and the way it was run. Obviously, I know FC United, I don't think they've got a mega budget, I think. I think it's more done on just passion, really. I know they've got some real gems in players, but I was very impressed with the whole setup there. Whereas Salford, obviously, it's I think everyone's seen documentaries on the BBC, so they've got money left, front and centre from the class of 92. So it's quite a different sort of setups, I believe, at the two clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much a Salford fan over an FC United fan. Or I wasn't. Most United fans aren't particular fans of the Glazers. But just abandoning the club to then go and create a new one, it wasn't for my liking. I wouldn't have gone about it. But I don't think they're that skint at all. That stadium that they put together, that cost over $6 million.
Was it that expensive? I knew they built the new stadium, which they moved into start of last season, near Newton Heath. I didn't realise it was $6 million.
6.3 million, apparently. Well, presumably, they've had to borrow us money for that. I can't see how they...
Well, before that, they were ground sharing with Gary.
What sort of ground? I don't know what gates they get at FC United Manchester.
It's about 4,000.
So that's pretty good for that level. Well, when I said pretty good, that's absolutely amazing.
It is.
I go to watch MacTown, and MacTown get about 1,500.
But then at this level, that's about average, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a great receiver.
Whereas Whitehawk, putting my localist club to that level, Conference South, Conference North, Whitehawk get 200. I know that's pretty shambolic, though, for that. I think they're one of the worst supported clubs, but it just proves the difference in flowing in support. But I think the average for Conference South North is probably about 500 at home.
Well, FC United, I know Nick brushed on it, they were getting promoted. They got promoted their first few seasons in a row, but they've been in the National League North, which is the league below the National League or Conference, and then it's the Football League. So they've been in that National League North for a couple of years now. They're currently 15th of 22 sides, so they're sort of looking like staying in that league. For that seems to be their level for the time being, despite the support.
And Salford City have gone up to the same league, haven't they?
Yeah, Salford City also playing the National League North, which is sixth tier of English football, as I say. I think that they're currently second in the table after the back-to-back promotions they've had. So, looking...
I think they'll be up there again.
Forming the leagues, aren't they, now?
Yeah. I just hope we're not giving any spoilers away for the next series of the BBC documentary.
I have to say, those two managers on there, if you were playing, you'd want to just smack one of them one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they calmed down a bit. That's why they got promoted, because they went for their it wasn't working their rich approach, and then they obviously when they got nicer, that's when the results started to come in. But I love the documentary. Though I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. I mean, the FA Cup games sort of pee people off a bit. I mean, sort of talking in group chats and stuff when the games won, people were annoyed about saying, "Oh, it's minnows." But then people were saying, "Hang on a minute, Salford have probably got." Not far on a budget of this, some of these football league teams are actually playing and supposedly giant it. I mean, when they play Notts County, I mean, Notts County, but I mean, Salford have still got a lot of players who have played at the high level, and obviously have got them on their books. They're playing obviously not for the big players in non-league football, but I love it. Obviously, I think I'm a big fan of the 92 class 92 pulling together, it will be interesting to see how high they can get.
It's an interesting league though this year, because they are both on Stockport and Altrincham in the same league as well.
Yeah, Darlington as well. Some big names in there that have been in the Football League, and obviously have had money troubles before. But obviously, so there probably is some big budgets in that league. But so I think Salford probably got the biggest budget in that league. As we've seen, non-league football's not all about budgets. It's obviously about getting a set of 11 together and. How many changes Salford have made to their team. I tried to sort of give it a bit of a Google, but all the names sort of seem similar apart from what's that model boy?
Gareth Seddon.
Danny Sensen, yeah, Seddon.
Gareth Seddon.
He's gone somewhere. They played Ramsbottom.
Ramsbottom, you're right. Yes.
He's gone there.
Just one other thing I want to mention about these clubs, you know, obviously being formed recently. I know. Roderick Giggs disagreed with me in his interview, but there's some controversy about them, because that they've been, it's argued that they take the fans away from other Manchester or North West based teams. Do you think that's a fair comment when other teams are struggling financially and fans are going to teams like Salford City, FC United?
No, there's just a lot of football clubs, isn't there?
Yeah, I know. Say Stockport, for instance.
I'm probably a fan of one of those clubs in MacTown. Like most people in Macclesfield, because it's so close to Manchester, pretty much everybody in Macclesfield either supports United or City. You know, you get a few Liverpool fans as well, but it's one of the two Manchester clubs most people have an allegiance to, as well as MacTown.
For
the sort of trendy clubs, which I'd say both Salford and FC United are, then it's exactly the way. I know my wife said, when the Class of 92 programme's in my town. I want to watch that.
Yeah, well, there's also another team, like Norfolk, Chittoria, Drawston, Trinium. I can't think of any more, but I'm sure you two know, obviously, being in that part of the I'm sure there's a lot of the ones around there. But
well, Rochdale, Bury, Curzon Ashton. Yeah, there's loads.
Yeah, Curzon Ashton, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of those teams have gone on good cup runs before as well. The fact that football as a whole, though, football is generally enjoyed by people up north than down south.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, down south's more rugby.
Well, no, you've got rugby league up in the north, apart from rugby union.
Rugby league's got pockets of support, though, from what I've found living up here. But yeah. We'll move on, unless there's anything else anyone wants to say about Salford City or FC United.
I think that's probably all.
All right. We'll move on to the Championship. A couple of interesting results at the weekend. To start with Newcastle, who went second in the table. They beat Derby County 2-0. Goals from Jan Gufran and DeAndre Yedlin. They've gone up to second, so they're starting to hit their stride after a dodgy start to season.
Yeah, they've got the hang up league, and they look very. We're not playing very well at the moment. They look very strong against us, but it's as expected, really. I mean, with the team they've got, the policy budget they've got, you expect them to walk the league, and I think they're not going to lose many games this season at all. But yeah, they're starting to show, especially grinding well. You know, again, they look very comfortable. And so, I mean, I didn't watch much of the game, but it's in the highlights. They look very comfortable at all times, really. I know Derby have had a quite poor start to the season themselves, but nonetheless, it's still a tough place to go. Obviously, Derby have got a lot of quality. But yeah, Newcastle are very in control, and I suspect them to really just keep themselves coming. To be honest, I'm struggling to see them sort of dropping many points this season.
Yeah. How big do you think it was for Newcastle to keep Benitez, which...
Huge. I know, like, when the transfer window was happening, a few sort of Newcastle fans on the floor were sort of a bit disappointed with some of the buys and sales that he made. But you look at the start of the season, and apart from, like, obviously they had a dodgy start, but now they're picking up points. And the main rivals aren't sort of doing as well as them. I know Norwich is only 1 point behind, but I was thinking Derby would have been a lot higher up the table. Wolves, I'd have thought, would have been pushing a bit.
Sorry,
go on.
I was going to say, move on to Derby, their opponents, obviously. It's been a terrible start to the season. I mean, I expected, and I think quite a few people expected them under Nigel Pearson to be, you know, up there, like playoffs at least. But, I mean, they scored one goal in their first six games, which... obviously isn't good enough. I know they tried using different attacking options. Chris Martin's gone, and they played James Wilson and Victor up front, which it wasn't good enough. Well, you know, one goal, it's relegation. It's the lowest scores in the division.
Yeah. And Villa, like, they're 17.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Aston Villa, like, only on 6 points at the moment. So, like, that's a lot of points already to be captured on.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 points behind Huddersfield. No, it's a funny league, as I say. I mean, who would have thought at this stage of the season would see Huddersfield and Barnsley 1-2, honestly. I mean, it's madness, but I think it's just to prove how tough this league is. But with Derby, the problem, it seems to be the problems of last season. They've got quality after quality after quality after quality in that squad, but it's just not a team. They don't play together as a team. I mean, it's all well and good signing all these quality players, throwing all this money. I mean, the amount of strikes they've got is absolutely ridiculous. Whereas we desperately need one. But as I said, it's all well and good having all these quality players, but if you can't play together as a team, you have no chance, especially in the Championship.
Yeah,
it's good to see, like, a couple of Yorkshire sides though starting the season well. This is something that I've bemoaned about before, that the over the other side of the Pennines in the last sort of 10-15 years has really seen a slump in form. It's just an unattractive place, it seems to be, for football in the last generation.
Well, you think of
the big clubs that have been in the top flight, and just historically are big name clubs. And at the moment, there's not one Yorkshire based club in the Premier League.
It's trash, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about Huddersfield. Yeah, they're still.
So if Huddersfield and Barnsley came up, that'd be great.
Well, Huddersfield are top of the league at the moment. They beat Leeds 1-0 at the weekend. I mean, at the start of the season, I don't think anyone would have predicted them to be up there. It's incredible.
No, I think Huddersfield have proven they're going to think they'll be up there in the season. I think they're going to be dark horses. They've got a manager who clearly knows what he's doing, Dave Wagner. And Klopp speaks very highly of him because obviously they worked together at Dortmund. But no, I think they've got, looking at the squad, it's very settled. I mean, they've got some good young players. I mean, they've got Narki Wellers, as a player I've always rated. I really was crying out for Brighton to try and sign him. Narki Wellers, I think he's brilliant. I've always rated him at Bradford. And he's a goal scorer. And also, I know they've signed a wonder kid from Southend, who apparently, you know, who reading about the Southend fans, really, he's 18, Jack Payne. Apparently he's just absolute class. Though. Apparently, the Southend are amazed that he didn't send him to a Premier League club, or they even reckon they could even do better than that, like a big European club. That's how good he is, apparently. I know he scored against Newcastle. But no, look at their squad. It's very, they've got players who know this league very well, and so I think they will be a team that will raise a few eyebrows this season.
Another shock was Fulham. Well, Fulham being, they were second in the league until the weekend. They lost. They lost 1-0 to Birmingham. They were down to 10 men, and it was Donaldson who got the penalty after missing. He missed the first penalty, scored the second penalty. But Fulham as well, another side who, well, they were second, they're now sixth in the table, I should say. But they've also looked a decent tip to go up.
No, I think they'll be mid-table this season, Fulham again. I know they've got a manager who's got a good record. He's a very good manager, and he did work very well at Watford. Got them promoted. But no, I mean, let's generally look at their squad. They'll be top half, but I can't see them sustaining. I don't think losing Dembele and McCormack was too much of a big loss for me, given how important they were to actually keep them in the division last year.
Yeah.
I mean, without them two, they'd have probably been rock bottom last year. But no, I don't think they'll be with the big boys. I mean, so there won't be any danger of going down early or showing me what they have done in the last two seasons, but it'll be a better season, let's say, than the last two. But I think they'll still be top half, lower mid-table, and lower bottom, to a top bottom half.
No, I agree with you.
What do you both think of Forest this year?
I thought against them at the Amex, I thought they were absolutely dreadful. I was a bit rude actually on the Forest, Forest fan, but they just, I didn't mean to be rude, but I've never seen, they were awful. I mean, they, apart from that Ollie Burke guy who kept them running through on goal, they had nothing. And when they sold him, I was like, oh my lord, what are you doing? But since that dropping at them, because they've seemed to actually have picked up some good results. And I was actually quite impressed at the way they played at Villa Park on Sunday.
It was the one that went to Red Bull Leipzig, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry?
He's the player that went over to Germany to Red Bull Leipzig.
Yeah, that's it, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's class. There's people saying he might be the next Gagba. I wouldn't go that far, but no, he looks very good. I mean, I was surprised that shit about it, but fair enough.
The weekend he had his debut, and basically he was the reason that they beat Dortmund this weekend.
Yeah, it was a good cross. It was he crossed it in, and it was an easy finish for the striker because of his.
Fair play to him. A better player. I mean, I'm not a Forest fan, so they put a lot of different views than me, but I'm actually quite. Kind of happy to see it. I mean, a young British player going abroad at such a young age and in a big league, and clearly, obviously, just on his debut. But and also, obviously, stop losing Forest, one of their best players. But no, I mean, they've picked up the results since the Amex. They look dreadful, but they seem to have picked up a bit. And I don't think they'll be up at the end of the season. But I had them down as actually a relegation, one of my contenders for relegation this season. But I think on recent form, I don't think they'll be that bad, but I think again it'll be another pretty mid-table season for us.
Well, it was a late equaliser at the weekend against Villa. They drew 2-2. It was Lansbury who scored late on to equalise. But what was quite funny in all that was Pereira, he got for his celebration, he dived into the crowd. He got a second yellow and was sent off in the 87th minute.
He's an absolute dickhead, he is. But to be fair, I felt a bit sorry for him on this one because. Well, players get criticised by fans every week saying, oh, they're not showing passion. When they do show passion, they get bloody sent off for it. I feel sorry for him. I mean, I don't like him because of other reasons, but he showed passion. Last one, equaliser. What's wrong with that? He went absolutely mental and rightfully so. I mean, what's he supposed to do? Just do a little clap and run back? No, fans want to see passion. We saw it on Brim on the weekend. The referee goes and sends him off. I mean, I just don't get that rule at all. Taking your shirt off or running into the crowd, getting booked for it. I don't get it at all. I mean, the referee can have all. I just don't see the big deal. I mean, the referee can obviously trying to hurry them up, unless it wastes a lot of time. then yeah, that's when you need to maybe get a call out there. It's a quick jump in the crowd, pushing.
No, I understand it myself. But when it happened with United a couple of weekends ago, and it was like the last minute winner, who was it that one against?
Hull.
Yeah, against Hull. And they ran ran into the crowd then. And apparently a woman got...
Oh, Fellaini rescued, yeah.
Yeah, Fellaini had to save the late, yeah.
So, you know, if it involves sort of the crowd getting all uppity and charging forward and stuff, then, you know, it isn't something that should be done. You've got to think...
Yeah, I'll probably say that because I'm a bit of a thug, so... I'd probably say I'm a young lad and I love going to when the team scores, but yeah, thinking if I'm 70, I might be in a different view on it.
Yeah, and it's like if you...
If I'm old like you, you're
right. Like if I went along and I took my lads... the football and suddenly all the crowd.
That's fair enough.
The shirts, though, I don't agree with. That's completely just the sponsorship, isn't it?
The what, sorry?
Well, taking the shirts off, isn't it always been the case that they get the yellow card because shirt sponsors want to see the shirt close up on the camera?
Bloody hell.
I thought it was more because of, like, the... I know it's not strong, but the nudity of it.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah, but they're fine to swap shirts afterwards, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true.
And when are the players ever nude nowadays? They've all got like skins and gilets on.
All right. Move on to Villa. They've got. I just want to say they've got some pretty decent firepower this year. They've got that £25 million strike force in Ross McCormack and Jonathan Codger. And they've obviously got Rudy Gusted, who was there before. He's obviously a great striker at Championship level.
Yeah, I think Villa have scored a lot of goals this season, but. pardon me. Already their defence is looking a bit suspect. I know this one, Tommy Elphick from Bournemouth. But yeah, it's looking a bit suspect at the back. They've gifted a lot of goals away as well this season. So I think, as I say, they'll definitely score a lot of goals this season. But I think they're going to have to outscore teams in order to win games because, as I say, I can't actually see them keeping too many clean sheets this season.
Mm-hmm. All right, just
it's a huge amount of money for a striker, isn't it, in the Championship, that.
Mm-hmm. But we're seeing more and more.
It gets at the end of the day, though, you say that, it gets them promoted, who cares? It honestly gives a crap. They're back in the Premier League, they've got all the money back, and then some.
If they don't get the Championship, though, then
fair enough, they've had a go, it hasn't come off.
Still, so how much do you get nowadays for a parachute payment?
No, God, it's about 120, over 100 million in it.
And obviously, they've got the new owners, haven't they, now?
Yeah, Tony Shah.
So, presumably, they're wanting to make the mark on the club and get them back to the Premiership and make cash off them.
To be fair to Villa, I think they're just happy to see it's exciting football again because that was a very good game. I mean, I watched the game on Sunday in the social club after my football game myself, and I thought it was a quality game. It was real entertainment. Much better seeing a game like that on your Sunday afternoon. No disrespect, but like the game we saw a few weeks ago, was it West Brom Middlesbrough? How crap was that?
Hmm.
I mean, it was lovely to see. I mean, it was end-to-end stuff, goals left, right, centre. It was what Championship's all about, really.
Moving on to Wolves, they've brought in a lot of foreign players. We talked about the signings last week, but I was reading a quote from their manager who claims that Wolves are the biggest English club in Italy. Do you think that... I don't think they've got a reputation quite that big. But I'm just interested what you think about all the foreign players coming in. Do you think that they can suit the Championship?
I think they'll be fine in sort of September when we've got a heat wave and such.
Mm-hmm.
When it's February and you're playing in -5 on a frozen pitch on a Tuesday night, it's a bit like the how would Messi do at Stoke on a wet Tuesday night sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Scandinavian players, Dutch players, etc., adapt to the Premiership well. Italian players over the years, there's not been that many great ones come to the English League.
No.
And even with that, you look at sort of the top flight of the Premier League, where it's still a physical league, but the Championship and below, you have to battle.
Yeah.
And how much fight is in these sort of players coming in?
Well, I would say it can go one or two ways. It can go in the good way, or do you remember Watford a few seasons ago? I don't think that it was the one they got to the final. playoff final and lost to Palace. They were class that year. I mean, they just out completely out. I saw the best championship team I've ever seen at this level. It was, I mean, they had Vidra Forestieri in their first year of the championship, all sorts of players. I mean, they were just class. I mean, they were just so quick, so organised and everything. They just blew teams away. I mean, everyone else on the telly, they were just class. But then it can go, so I think another tip, if you do though, it can go tits up though. Like, I mean, a few years ago, we signed so many crap abroad and we were in a relegation battle. So I think other teams have done it before as well. I think when Paolo Sosa took charge of Leicester or something, it went all with tits up and someone had to come in and keep them up. So as I say, it can go one or two ways, bring all the foreign players. Personally myself, I don't mind seeing the odd gem come through, but I'm more of a player who know this league inside out.
Yeah. Brings me quite nicely onto another point though. In the Huddersfield game, I know we mentioned it in passing. I don't know if you saw the incident with Aaron Moy. It was a pretty bad tackle when he was booked for it. But it was quite interesting to see the opinions, because Gary Monk said it was a red card, and you'd expect the opposition manager to say. But then the Huddersfield manager, Dave Wagner, said that he said in Germany it's a red card, no question. Yet in England, because the football's different, it isn't a red card. So what I want to ask is, do you think that English football is different from European football? And if so, why? What's the difference?
I think it's a lot more for the English game. Like, you see some of... And defensively, we've always wanted defenders that can defend. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look over the continent and a defender is the first line of attack for a team. It's, you know, a defender is... They're looking forward to see where the ball can then move to. Well, an English defender's always been, how do I stop a goal? And that's why playing John Stones is sort of divided quite a bit in the English game, because he doesn't play like an English defender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that. I know we've always had a reputation in England, like a lot of broads running about just looking to go right through people. But I did see the decision myself, and... Yeah, I think it's a red card at the end of the day. But answer is, I'm done with referees, to be honest. The consistency is just annoying me too much now. So I just know what to expect in every refereeing game. It's just going to, rather than get decisions going our way or not going our way, but it's not going to be a good performance by the referee. So once every game, so 3 weeks ago, we had a 2-footed lunge on Liam Rossini, and now he's out for the season. Was it a red card? Was it a foul? Quite sure. Could have been. So I don't know. With referees, we can debate it all we want, but I think we're just wasting our time because nothing's going to change.
Would you prefer it if referees were stricter, but like say European style, where you see a lot more cards and you don't get away with anywhere near the amount you do in English football?
Oh, I would say a bit of common sense, really. I mean, a bit of consistency. I mean, we know what a sliding tackle is. You win the ball. You haven't gone through a player or anything. You've gone through the back of a player. You've won the ball fair and square. It's hard, fair enough, man up. But if you're off the ground and it's late or anything, then it's a red card. Or if anything, we should. Obviously, we don't want to see players go sent off left, but we don't really want to see 11 versus 11. So I just think a bit more consistency, a bit more common sense, really. I think that's the key route.
Right.
The problem is that if you go down the stricter route and somewhat like the continent on certain tackles and stuff, then you look at, say, the Spanish league. And the number of players that then play out on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You make a stricter league and you feed the Diego Costas and such that just go out of the way to get defenders' bookings. Because they'll be niggling in the rear all the way through the game. They'll be doing little like kicks to the backs of the ankles when the ref's not looking. And then the moment that the ref is looking, he'll be make sure that he looks like he's taking an elbow to the face or something, and he's rolling on the floor doing triple somersaults.
Mm-hmm. So we're all in agreement we prefer the English style of game rather than,
I prefer the English style of game in regards to refereeing.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the way that the English game is brings through young players completely changed. Because it's very much about which kids are the biggest and strongest still. Country. It's not about which kids have got a brain for seeing what's happening 5 seconds before it happens and which kids are technical. It's just which is the biggest kid in the class.
Yeah. All right. Well, just to finish with the championship, I'll just give Brighton a quick mention.
No, we don't want to talk about the
rapid result.
Well, he lost 2-0 to Brentford. First home loss since New Year's Day, I read. The target, I suppose, is the bad question. What's is it playoffs? Is that the goal for the season?
Well, I thought with the way we played last season, I don't really see why we can't go for number one or two. There's teams that have come down with bigger budgets than us and what have you, but we've got settled 11 then, or at least we thought we had, until the Stevens stone has started to come. So I don't see a reason why we can't go for one of them, for first or second. But over the last three performances, we haven't been very good. I still think we missed the trick in not recruiting another striker in the transfer window, or even a number 10 attacking midfielder. So I think, it's going to be playoffs if we're realistic this season. But we've not played very well the last three games, which is a bit of a concern. But as I said, we all have full faith in Hugh. He knows what he's doing. He knows this league inside out. I'm sure he'll sort it out. And as I say, records are there to be broken. Brentford, fair play to them, they did it. But Brentford were pretty good. I didn't think they were amazing. I thought it was more down to us being very poor in decision making at the back, especially. I thought at 1-0 we were demanded. We were talking on the subject of the rest, not trying to blame people on this. It was a key decision where Manu was brought down in the area, but referee saw it as a dive. I think everyone else in the stadium didn't, but it's one of those things. But fair play to Brentford. They didn't say for a minute one they didn't come to be. They didn't come to make up numbers or play for a point. They came to win a football match, and they didn't. We were upset on the day, and I think hopefully we've got a big game tomorrow night against Huddersfield. So it's a chance to get back to basics, even as Carl in the middle, and so hopefully we can get a win.
Mm-hmm.
We'll praise Brentford one more time here. Dean Smith, he's obviously did a terrific job also, and I was impressed with the way they set up and everything, and it was more refreshing to see a team come to the MX and not look too time away from the kickoff. So yeah, both of them.
Alright. We'll move on to League One. Dunthorpe beating Southend 4-0, so they're up to second in the table, but they've got a game in hand over Bolton, so they could end up top. Terrific result for them.
I think with Scunthorpe they've kept sort of a similar squad over the last few years. I see they've still got Paddy Madden there and banging in the goals. So they've got a proven side at Scunthorpe. I know they've had a bit tricky over sort of when they came down in the championship, Adkins sort of left. They've sort of started slowly dropping down, sort of dropping off the face of the earth really, and sort of kind of like a sort of mid-table obscurity in the League Ones and League Twos. But no, they've got a set aside in that Scunthorpe. I think they could be a team to look out for this season in League One.
I like seeing how Bury is starting to sort of, they're just outside of playoffs at the moment, but on the same sort of points. Having sort of been my son there as on the trials a couple of years ago, he was still the same manager there, and he put through an ethos of every single level of the club playing the same type of football. Mm-hmm. With one touch stuff, it's good to see something starting to rise through the ranks a bit.
It'd be quite amazing to see them in the Championship next year.
Yeah,
how
do they do it?
I guess playoffs is probably possible, but yeah, I can't see them finishing in the top two myself.
But you look at some of the Burton came up last year all the way to the Championship, so it's not
incredible last year.
Mm. Yeah, so it's not out of their ability to do so.
No, I don't think there's any. I mean, yeah, you could. Burton, I think, and even Yeovil a few years ago, they played non-league football on Sunday. I think Burton and Yeovil over the years have set that sort of a tone that anyone in League One, in my opinion, is capable of promotion, even AFC Wimbledon as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was joined by Ross Milton last week, we were saying we expect Bolton to win the league, but then after that, it is quite a difficult choice to pick who's second in the league.
Yeah, I know you've got your usual suspect. Mill will always be up there. Charlton coming down big club. But no, I think I'm actually pretty surprised how well Bolton started, to be honest. I am. Like last year when they got relegated, I said I think they'll struggle in League One. I didn't think they'll go down, but I didn't think they'll do this well. But no, they've clearly obviously had a good pre-season. Players obviously accepted responsibility of what league they're in, and they're playing well. And as I say, they've certainly not. They're not going to be what I said from the table. They're looking like they're going to be seem to beat really this season.
Don't know if
you're Sheffield ever going to get out of this league.
Well, they're starting to get. I mean, it's looking like. I mean, I think that three games in, they lost all their games, including their 3-0 home defeat to Southend. I think they'll bring it down for like 10 minutes. But they're starting to get the grips of things now. They've got Superb manager and Chris Wilder there. And I think, yeah, they beat AFC Women 3-2 on Saturday, and they're starting to win a few now. I think they're starting to get grips to the league. So I think they could be up there. I think.
Did anyone see that?
They obviously were the pre-season boys, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, every year, like you look at that league and you think Sheffield United should be getting out of it,
mm-hmm.
and every year they end up staying in it. You know, how many years is it now that they've been sort of this far down?
Oh God, it's been about 5 years.
Five, six years.
In League One, 5 years or so.
Quite interesting that Chris Wilder leaves Northampton, goes to Sheffield United. Northampton are above them in the table, and now it's 31 games unbeaten for them after they beat Walsall 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, they've kept some of the squad, really, haven't they? They're keeping their sort of stand going. It's a bit like Burton. If you can lose managers but keep sort of your core group of players there, keep the way the club sort of run, then the whole it sort of runs itself in a way, really, and. It's sort of doing that. It appears to be doing that. It's stealth and done.
Coventry and Walsall are at the bottom of the table. It's not looking good for either of them. Coventry have been in. I think it's been like it's this ridiculous record. They've not finished in the top seven or eight of the division for 40 years or something ridiculous, isn't it?
It's an unwanted record, isn't it? And already this season, it's looking like it's going to be poor fans. It's looking like it's going to be another boring season, really, in hand for them. I know. It's been all better. So that's a good point, Mill. Mill, as we know, is one of the toughest places to go in that league. And it's a good point. But I know Matty would probably do a better insight on what's going on. But it just appears to be the same similar problems every year. I mean, they struggle to score goals. And more importantly, they can't really at the other end as well. They never seem to really keep the clean sheets.
Yeah.
So I think they need to. I know they've got a good manager in Tony Mowbray there. So they can just start getting their. So it's a good point of Milner. They can use that as a confidence booster and crack on with.
Yeah. Hopefully, we can get Matty on the show at some point if he wants to come on and talk about Coventry. just want to say, did either of you see that Mark Howard save for Bolton, a penalty save to preserve the draw against MK Dons? It's well worth checking out if you've not seen it. It's a terrific penalty save.
I haven't seen it, but I certainly will do.
Yeah.
You've sold it to me.
Alright, just one other thing on League One I want to mention. There was a game, Swindon v Bristol Rovers, and there's been a bit of a dispute since it. It's not really been covered by media, but... just to give you the background on it, a game ended after 60 minutes. It was absolute torrential rain. It was chucking it down. But the problem is that it's been judged as an act of God and that fans are going to be charged for new tickets, no refunds. And I know the two managers have said a bit, and neither of them, well, one of them, the Swindon manager's not particularly happy about what's gone on, especially as it's 25 quid for tickets now and it was 19 for... The initial. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, whether it's fair on the fans or not.
Well, I'm an atheist, so I won't be happy.
I think yes, it's an act of good God, but I think you do half price or something. I think making the refunds a bit harsh, or even any to pay the full match price is a bit harsh. I think. You want to say it's one of these things, but yeah, that is a bit harsh.
Well, they were saying it's high cost because it's a derby game, because it's, you know, Swindon, Bristol, Rovers. That...
Yeah, I can see that. But at the beginning of the game, fans pay the money. Who wants to pay the money again? But then I suppose, in a way, you're sort of conning your own fan, really, because fans obviously really want to see that game. It's a rival game, but there. So it's sort of like it's a cruel sort of circle there, isn't it?
Something else, Bristol. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Look, there's no sort of winner with it, is there? Because obviously the club involved have the costs of running the game. It's like a Man United, etc., that technically United could let everybody into three and still be making profit.
Well, it's like
the end of the season.
Well, there was the Bournemouth game at the end of last season, which, you know, the bomb scare, and that was free to the fans were given reef. I think they were given both refund and they were got entry for the next game, the rearranged Tuesday night game.
You
and probably got new pants as well because they probably all shat themselves.
the person who left the phone on the thing was a security thing. Did they get fired?
It was someone from from a security company. It was United had rented out a part of their stadium to a security company to do a training exercise. So it would have been down to them, I suppose. I don't know what happened to him, but it was...
They probably just laughed over it a few times.
But the cost of running the game for free at this level, yeah, the overheads of it with all the police and such and the stewards involved.
Well, yeah, you have to get more police and stewards as well for that big game as well.
Yeah, so a minimal amount, basically anything to break even, I would say acceptable.
Well, Darryl Clark, the Bristol Rovers manager, said that that it's a standard thing for clubs if the game is cancelled after half time not to give a refund. He said it's just the normal thing. But I know Swindon have arranged for free transport for their fans to get there. But yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. The other thing I wanted to mention was that the Bristol Rovers have decided to put the away fans in the corner of the stadium rather than opening up the normal away stand, which is behind the goal as well, which I know they're not happy about. So yeah, I guess it's a bit of an ongoing thing and it's something to keep an eye on with interest.
Yeah, it's just get enough money to obviously make sure that you're not running the game at a loss,
mm-hmm.
but just so you're covering the overheads.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that means just charging £5 for the game, then I'm sure everybody comes away thinking, yeah, that's fine.
All right, we'll move on to League Two then. Plymouth went top of the league after beating Cambridge. They beat Cambridge 2-1. Cambridge rock bottom at the moment, which I was pretty surprised to see. But good news for Plymouth being top of the league, which is, well, they're a decent side. I thought they were a bit unlucky last season not to go up.
Yeah, picking up the point there about Cambridge, I am surprised about that myself because they're on such a high note like they did last year, smashing a lot of teams, I expect. And they're really challenging this year. But yeah, I think they're obviously at this point about the whole season, but I know they got straight down to business and they're recruiting well early on. It's a good idea. And it's paying off. So they've another big win for them, and I think hopefully they can go one step further this year than they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Which Plymouth is great. Portsmouth and Luton are both decent clubs, aren't they, for that division?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously the British favourites every year.
Well, Luton were unbeaten until the weekend. They lost 2-1 to Grimsby Town.
Yeah, Luton, I think they want them to. Well, Luton, soft spot manager Nathan Jones. They really are. I think they will do all right. So you're obviously going to get the odd sticky result, and they obviously have one. Grimsby, though, to be fair, they're no mugs. I think they'll do right this season. They came up from the conference last year. I would say if you can't have the conference, obviously you've got a bit about you because it's such a tough league to get out of.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was big that they beat Forest Green Rovers because everyone was expecting them after finishing second.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, I think over the years we have seen that the teams that have come up from the from a conference, you really see a team come up from the conference and straight back down. As I say, fair play to them, it's a big result for them.
Mm-hmm. It was a loss for Notts County. They lost to Accrington. Accrington picking up their first win of the season since the opening day. Accrington, another side which I know I discussed last week. Discussed them, but I thought they'd be a lot higher. I thought they'd be competing with the big boys.
Well, because they had that big cup win against Burnley, and they've got time away. So whether they're all up to a year, say whenever a little club goes to the Premier Club, you always have the distraction, and you can because they're always there. Well, that's all they're thinking about, stadium. So that could be a mindset. But no, fair play to them. They obviously put it out of their mind for this weekend, and that's a big win. Notts County, it's say Notts County, not an easy place to go. So I played John Connor. They did fantastic last year, Stanley. Whether they'll hit the heights this season, don't know. But no, it's a big win for them.
A club I wanted to ask you both about. I don't know if you you've mentioned it as yet on the last week.
Uh-huh.
But Blackpool. Mm.
They've not been mentioned at all.
Just a few seasons ago, they were all the way up in the Premier League, and they've just been in total freefall all since then.
Last year, how is
this? Yeah, they're sort of mid-table at the moment. Can they go any further down?
Probably. A couple of years ago, it was horrible. So the fan, it was such an unrest there, and no one was enjoying it. Pitch is crap. It was just not an enjoyable. Obviously, you always want to see people go to a football match and enjoy themselves, bring their kids along, etc. You go out with your mates. It was doom and gloom. I know they won 1-0, but even that, it just didn't look fun at all from their point of view.
Protests as well, didn't
they? Yes, they've been. It's not their most of the club. So Blackpool have always been very, very good after supporters. They don't deserve this. It's not fair on them. And as I say, you say, how low can it go? You've only got to look at Stockport.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the Championship and they know what they are.
The thing is, if they do go down to the Conference, if they do go down to the Conference, as we've mentioned before, it is a hard league to get out of. And I agree with you, Nick. Well, I think they can go down. I think they're in a terrible state.
Tough league to get out of. I think at the moment it's just whatever league they're in, consolidate. If they go down, I think their worry would be, don't go down again. As Gary keeps saying, how far they have to go down. So I don't think Ocean's going to be able to put on anyone, any supporters mind any time soon, I think. So this season, I think it'll be staying up next season. Until they can lose this ownership, and then they can start trying to rebuild Blackpool's.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a shame because historically, a really well-known club. We've had some really big heights at that club.
They're fantastic. Well, then the Premier League, it was lovely seeing them in the Premier League. They was going to be entertaining so far.
Historically, they were involved in which is probably the most famous FA Cup final of all time, which was the 1953 Stanley Matthews final.
I wonder if you've been anywhere near existence then.
Well, neither was that. I'm not that old. But everyone goes on about the glamour of the FA Cup. That was the quintessential FA Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
And to see a club of, both of the clubs in that have, over the last few years, had really shit times at Blackpool and Bolton.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing to see these historically great clubs. Taken to the cleaners by the owners.
It's terrible, but yeah.
It makes you just wonder how that owner can even sleep at night. You've got supporters who, it sounds a bit far-fetched, but supporters, when they go to bed at night, that's what's on their mind, their football club. It's what they live and breathe for and die for and everything, and it's what they're paying their money, their work, and they're not having any fun in it. It makes you wonder how sick in there these owners can actually be at Blackpool. It's gone on long enough, and you just sell up. That's what you're...
One of the owners of Blackpool was basically, yeah.
Well, I think that's what it is. I mean, when I did speak to the supporters, they used to be well loved there. With the church. They once won Soccer Aim, all their fans. But then I think when they got promoted, it sort of went a bit funny in the head.
All right, well, I think we've reached the end of the show, unless there's anything else anyone else wants to mention.
I'm going to mention my son. He's got his first game as a ball boy tomorrow night for Max Town.
Oh, right. Cool. I hope he enjoys it.
And he's got a trial for the Macclesfield District team as well next week.
Yeah, I saw that. I liked that on Facebook.
Well, good luck. Good luck to your son, Richard.
Yeah. If he needs any pointers, ask me.
I've seen you in that kit last week. Definitely not.
Oh. I wore a top man.
Was there something you wanted to mention, Nick? Sorry.
I just want to say Dean Cox, that's when he's actually in the same town, left Leighton Orient this week. He's found a new club already, Crawley Town. However, he will not be able to play until January 1st, some rules. But my fair play, he's found a new club, and I think he'll do well at Crawley, so it's local club.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, I think we've reached the end of the show. Just a note that Tuesday night there's a full Championship schedule and Bristol Rovers play Walsall in League One. You can You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football, or you can check out our website, v2football.com. As he was on the show earlier, Rodri Giggs, you can follow him on Twitter, it's at Rod James Giggs. I'll put all the links in the description. Also being released is the V2 Academy. Chris Lappin's joined by the Chelsea Academy skills coach, so you can get his thoughts. You can also vote for us in the Football Blogging Awards. We're hoping to get nominated for that. I'll put the link now in the description, but we're really hoping to go again. I know. I know. Hopefully we go again. We get nominated for Best Podcast.
Hooray! I want to meet a hero.
Everybody wants to meet a hero. I've even talked about myself in the third person there.
He bottled it, actually.
It would mean a lot if you voted for us. I'll put the link in description, which will tell you how to vote for us. Thanks for joining me. It's good night from me, and good night from Richard and Nick.
Good night.
Yeah, it is good night for me.